Call a meeting in order of the Citizens Utility Advisory Commission for January 6th, 2021. So welcome everybody to the new year and to our meeting. Roll call, Commissioner Folk, are you here?
I am here tonight.
Commissioner Feito, are you here?
I believe so.
And Commissioner Ford?
Present.
You're here. And Commissioner McGrew is here.
Absolutely.
And Commissioner Berryhill's here. And Commissioner Short's here. Okay, let the record show that we're all here in person. Okay? Next item on the agenda is citizen comments. Do we have any citizens out there that'd like to make a comment? Do we have a citizen shaking her head no? We do. Okay. All right, we have no citizen comments. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. That's minutes for November 4th, 2020. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes for November 4th, 2020?
I'll motion.
Okay, Commissioner Ford moved. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Commissioner Feito second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Thank you. Next item on the is the workshop for December 17th, 2020 minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes for the workshop?
I'll move to accept the
minutes. Mr. Plato moved. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Mr. Berryhill second the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. We've approved that. Next item on the agenda is the director's report. Solid Waste and Landfill, Michelle Watenko, the director, you could give the report.
Yeah, there is no report tonight, Vice Chair.
No report, okay. And then the second is the Water Services Director, Craig Johnson. Could you give the report?
Vice Chair, Commissioners, just a couple of items. I'd like to introduce a new hire today. Her name is Perry Schuer. There she is back there. If you recall, when I told you Katrina was going to be promoted to the Deputy Director,
yes.
The position she left is now being filled by Perry. So she's our new Support Services Administrator, and so most of the administrative and warehouse people will work for her. So she's going to be a great hand for us. She was in HR for a number of years as our HR rep, and then she went to Surprise for a while, and she saw this opportunity, and she came back. So we're really glad to have her. So
welcome back.
Absolutely.
You now have the official copy of the Clean and Green. We talked about it last time, but this now it's gone out, so it's officially out in the field. What reminder, the city offices are going to be closed on January the 18th for the Martin Luther King holiday. And then last week on Tuesday, we had an opportunity to take a field trip, and Commissioner Flato went out, and we got a chance to see the Primus liner being installed in the 6-inch sewer waste activated sludge line. And what I'm going to do is we had it videotaped with the drone, and then I'm going to, and then the one thing he didn't get to see is, and Councilmember Tomachoff is there also, is how they connect the two ends, because they're going at about 1,300 feet apart between vaults, so there's segments of pipes. So how do they connect the pipes? So there's a detail on how they do that. So he got an opportunity to see them at the material that they used to do it, but they're also filmed one that's being done in another pit, and then we'll get to see it, and then I'll provide all you guys some information on that too, so you can get to see how it actually went together, and then we get to see the actual pipe that we're going to be sending our wastewater sludge through. So, and then last item, something I'm really proud of our staff for is we got this, we handed this out to you today, and the city had a program through the Community Services Department on a kind of a holiday assistance program for people in need. And so we picked up a family of a mother and five children, ranging from the ages of 18 months to 9 years old. And They gave us a shopping list of things that they gave me the Santa's list, and so Katrina took charge of this, and we had 21 of our employees donated $980.
Wow.
So we got them everything from a Christmas tree and ornaments to underwear, socks, and toys, and everything. So I just wanted to let you see, and this is a picture that we displayed all the stuff before we took it over there to their house. So,
that's fantastic.
I thought that was really a good gesture on the city's part, for one.
Absolutely.
And then on our department people for stepping up to help a family in need. That's all I've got on my list.
Have other departments done this too?
There were other departments that took on families also.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's the end of my report.
All right. Any questions? None?
No.
All right. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the 2020 trash recycle survey results. That's great. I'm looking forward to this. Okay. And what Monica Gorman, Deputy Director of Field Operations, will give the report.
Yes, thank you. I'm really pleased to be here tonight. I think I can project. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I might need Candace's help in getting this on the screen now.
It's on.
Okay. It's for recording.
All right.
Is that
the
slide?
Yeah, you're going to have to just slide number. Okay. Everybody has a presentation.
Thank you. They
yes.
all have the PowerPoint presentation.
We're good.
Everyone has that? And then Candace also sent this out last, I think it was Thursday. So this is the
yes.
complete report?
Yes.
All right. Very good. So again, my name is Monica Foreman. I'm Michelle's new deputy director. I've just been here since August. So if you don't recognize the upper half of my face, that's why. I'm going to start with the first slide, which is labeled Introduction on yours. And so by way of background, in January 14, 2020, Michelle went to a council workshop and talked about our recycling program. And during that workshop, there were a few council members that asked staff to go out and survey our citizens about recycling. And essentially, the council wanted to inform our residents that recycling costs money. And you may or may not be aware that most people think recycling is free or generates revenues. And in fact, recyclable material processing in Glendale and in most jurisdictions has not generated revenue for several years. And you know, if you talk about 7-10 years ago, it did generate a lot of revenue and it was essentially a break-even proposition. That's just no longer the case. And so the purpose of this survey was really to obtain citizen feedback that could be used to help guide council decisions moving forward. And so we were asked to issue the survey, bring back the data along with some recommendations. So if you look at the slide that's labeled methodology, that's number 3, and you'll see Glendale has about 55,440 households that are eligible to receive our residential collection services. Now, of course, of that number, there are fewer accounts that are actually active at any given time. So the first step that we wanted to do is inform citizens that we have the survey and we'd like them to take it. So during the week of October 19, we sent a postcard out to all the active accounts, and the postcard was actually half sheet, so it's 8.5 by 5.5 inches. And we informed our residents in both English and Spanish that we had a survey and they could go online and take it, and if they couldn't go online, then they could call a customer service number and one of our staff would help them fill it out.
Nice.
We also sent I think it was about half a dozen or so, social media, and that typically went out on every Monday. And in the slide, you'll see a little bit of clip art. That's just an example of one of the graphics that went out in the social media announcements. The survey was posted online and it was open to our residential customers between October 19th and November 16th. And they could take it in either English or Spanish, that was up to them. And the survey consisted of an introduction, and the survey is actually in the report, back in the appendices, if you want to look at it. So it had an introduction that I think was responsive to council's request that we talk about the costs of recycling. And we told our residents, hey, recycling costs money, it's not free, and this is something that we need to potentially have some programmatic changes to pay for. So that introduction was then followed by 10 questions. If you'll go to the next slide, slide number 4, we had 7,267 surveys submitted during that open period. And that number represents 13.1% of the total households eligible to receive our services. And one of the council's questions, as I mentioned, was, do our citizens support recycling? I think overwhelmingly the survey results indicated that our residents do support recycling. Now you can see the complete survey results in the report. There's summaries, there's graphs, and in the back you'll see a breakdown of all the data. But we did want to share some significant findings with you here. So if you go to slide number 5, there's a pie chart here, and I just want to note that the graphs, and in this case they're pie charts, those reflect response rates in whole numbers. And the text above has a digit one place to the right of the decimal or tenths. So I just want to point this out because in some cases those whole numbers don't necessarily match the digits to the tenth, and so that's a rounding error. If you want to see the exact numbers to tenths, that's in the back of the report. So we asked our customers how important it is to their household to recycle, and 23% said important, and 61% indicated very important. And I know it's a little bit hard to see maybe on your paper, but the blue indicates important or very important, and then the tan is not so important. On the next slide, number 6, we asked customers how often they set their recycling carts out for collection. About 62% said weekly, and 27% indicated every other week. About 11% of the respondents said once a month or less. That might be higher than you anticipated. That represents about 6,100 households out of the 54,000.
Yeah. Amber.
You're here.
Sorry.
Are we good? Okay. I'm on slide 7, and I wish I had this on the big board. Sorry about that. This graph is not as clear as I would like, in the best of terms, and now it's like really tiny. So if you'll just hang in there with me, I'll try to explain. So these two graphs represent questions 6 and 7. The top graph is question 6, and the bottom is question 7. Now question 6 was, are you willing to pay up to $1.60 more per month to maintain your current service level, which is once per week recycling? Question 7 said, are you willing to reduce your service level to every other week recycling if we limit that increase to $1 per month? And so the graph on the top, that's the, are you willing to pay $1.60? And that graph indicated, I can't see the
You're not alone.
Can I say yours?
Yours is bigger than mine.
Do you mind?
No. I have a different one.
I'll see. No, you don't.
Just give you the file.
No, I think it's larger on this one.
No, it's not.
It isn't?
No, because I don't have the one.
Oh. Oh, look, like now I'm really old.
Now magnifying glass.
You know you're officially old. It's just the text is not, it's not clear enough.
It's not that it's not good enough, but it's not.
Yes.
Candace, do you have one that I can, the two print page? I can see it as a black side noise.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Probably a little better inside the pamphlet, Monica.
Thank you. Very good. That was the obvious answer, right? Fantastic. Solution found. Okay. So back to question six, which is, are you willing to pay up to $1.60 a month? And where we got that $1.60 is that's close to the break-even point for recycling processing for us in terms of expenditures and revenues. So 62% of the people said they would be willing to pay that, and 38% said no. And then if you go down to the next graph and look at the pie on the left, so the next question, question seven, was would you be willing to reduce your service level to every other week for a dollar? And 57% said yes, and 43% said no. And then you're looking, okay, what's that pie off to the right? Well, what we wanted to do is look at when people said no, were they being sensitive to price or were they being sensitive to frequency of service? So for the no, we broke that down further. So look back up on question six and the top, and you'll see we broke down that no. So of those 38% that said no, 28% of those said yes to the question below. They said, I'm okay with every other week for a dollar. And 10% said no. And then if you look at question seven, we had a certain number of people, 43% said no, I don't want every other week service. And we broke down that down further, and 33% of those no's actually said yes to the question above. They said, hey, I'm willing to pay $1.60. So when you combine those, the end result is what's important. And that's 28% said yes, they would be willing to pay more with recycling. And they're fine with either weekly or every other week. Didn't matter to them. About 33% said yes, they would pay more with weekly recycling, but they didn't want to reduce their service levels to every other week. And then 28% agreed to every other week recycling, but they were not willing to pay more for weekly service. And that left about 9.5% that said no to both. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm moving on to slide number eight. We asked our customers if they would support changes to free monthly disposal at the landfill. And 54% said reducing service to 6 times per year would be fine. And 21% they would be willing to eliminate the service. The next slide, number nine. You can see from that the blue is good, the tan is not so good. So I'm pleased to say the majority of our customers were happy with their collection service. And 96.3% said that their service was very good or good.
Excellent.
Next steps, slide 10. Recycling program recommendations are planned for this commission in February, and I think that's on your draft agenda, followed by a rate discussion in March. And we've partnered with Water on that. I think they're both in March, tentatively, just to make that more fun. And we hope to present to council no later than April. That's our goal. Are there any questions?
Monica, yes. Did you look at the sustainment of this program beyond just the short term? So are we going to go back in 3 years and say, you know, it's getting even worse and we're going to need to collect more? Do we take any evaluation of that?
I think what we're looking at now
is just that cost recovery to make up the loss in the recycling processing. And currently, our markets are recovering. So assuming they continue to recover as they have been, and assuming we hit the lowest of the low, which I think is a reasonable assumption, we should be fine. Now, there may be other rate increases associated with different collection service, right? Because we have collection service and we have recycling processing. So those are two different funds. We'll be bringing a rate discussion forward. I think there's still some revenues that we need to make up, and I think we'll bring those recommendations forward, but I think it's probably going to be some combination of the household rate that those residents pay for service and maybe landfill fees.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes, I have a question.
Yes.
Did your department or the city receive the expected results from the survey that they anticipated, 13%, I believe it was?
I think the answer is definitely no.
Yeah.
And I came from a different jurisdiction where there might have been an expectation of a different level of civic engagement. And when I came here, I think there was an expectation that if we got maybe several hundred, that would be a really good result. In my experience anyway, people really love their trash and recycling service. And so I was very pleased with these results, and I think others were surprised. And I'm not sure people anticipated the strength of desire to have the service. I really can't speak to that. Probably Michelle.
Okay.
Yeah, Commissioner Review, if you look back, one of the recent surveys the city sent out was to all residents asking them, rank your parks and recreation services, you know, what's important, what's not important.
Yes.
As they start this master planning process, through that entire process, they received around 400 surveys. And so we were hoping to do better than 400. So 13,000 to us was amazing, and we were very happy with that. That does show that residents really do want to recycle, and they want to be heard, and we were very happy with the response rate.
That's 7,000, 13%.
Sorry, 7,000, so 13%. That was, it exceeded our expectations.
Okay, excellent, thank you.
I think more importantly, Commissioner, is the survey is statistically significant at 95% confidence level. It's plus or minus 1.08. So I think that's really, that level of credibility is really helpful as we move forward, that we can be confident that these opinions represent the majority of our customers.
Perfect, thank you.
One more question, if I might.
Yes.
Is there a linear relationship on the cost? So for example, for regular service, $1.60 increase, if we cut that in half, if it was linear, it'd be 80 cents, but you have a dollar instead. Is there a logic behind that?
There is a logic behind that, because the $1.60 maintains the processing, and you would think if we did every other week, maybe that would be half. But what happens when you do every other week recycling, you don't actually reduce the amount of recyclables that you collect. So we're still processing the same amount of recyclable materials. The cost savings comes on the collection side. So
that makes perfect sense, because I'm going to save it for a week if I'm not going to do it. Thank
right.
you.
Yeah. I've got one more question as well.
Yes, Commissioner.
So has there ever been a study done to identify the percentage of containers, their fullness, they're on the recycling each week, if they're full 25%, 50%, 100%?
We have done, and I wasn't here, but I've asked staff this question, and they have done some informal surveys, and I think Michelle might be able to speak to that, but in general, I think people put out that's a 95-gallon cart, and so most people's carts are not full when they set out.
I see.
If we were to go to every other week recycling, and a family, maybe a large family, they needed more capacity, additional recycling carts are free.
Perfect. Love it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing we have to look at is occasionally people use it as a container for excess garbage because there is capacity to fit it. So we have looked at it. We're just trying to finalize that data. So the drivers do note it when they pick up the container. And we the other part of the change would be, instead of being able to do 1,400 homes with one driver and one truck in a day to pick up recyclable, we'd have to cut that route down a lot less. And that's why it's not, you know, $1.60 to 80 cents, $1.60 to $1. So there's other things like that. So if you guys are done with questions, I actually have a question for you. I'm just curious as to how many of you took the survey. Good.
I did.
So several.
Did you receive your postcard?
Yes.
Yes.
Outstanding.
And I recycled it.
Very good.
Double whammy.
Thank you. Are we done?
All right. Commissioner Berryhill, did you have any questions? Okay, Commissioner Froke, did you? Commissioner Ford, did you have any questions?
I have no question. I only have one comment related to the bulk trash. I would just be curious going forward to, I'll be curious to see what other options, because I feel like this, based on my neighborhood, like this is not true to what I actually see being put out. In other words, we definitely need it every month, because there are lots of bulk trash in that particular area, so.
Right, and I think Ms. Gorman can speak to that, because we did also, we asked people there, what's your day of collection? So we could gauge where you were within the city to determine, was there differences, you know, geographically?
Right.
And we did not see anything significant.
So if you want to look at your particular jurisdiction, if you look in the report, you'll see a collection day map. So you already know your collection day, but I'm pointing that out to other people. So in the back, you'll see a summary of all the results to one decimal place. And you can pick any question. For any question, the first column, you'll see it's solid black. That's all days. So that's the average across the city. And then it's broken out by collection day. Mm-hmm. So for the bulk trash, if you just want to go to that particular question and look at your collection day, you can see the statistics for those respondents. Because that was split about 50-50, and people here really like their bulk trash,
right.
Yes.
I don't know that we would put forth a recommendation related to that.
I just wanted to make a comment. I personally have never used it, but I know my neighbors do to help.
All right.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Excellent report. I'm glad you did the survey, and hopefully it's a tremendous help when we see you in February. I think
Right.
We have one more. Yes.
Mm-hmm. On bulk trash, I just want to make a comment. I said over the time, going down baseline road and stuff, now you can see trash all over the desert. People just go out and dump it because there's no place to dump it. But once we start doing more with bulk trash, I just haven't seen that as much, as people just dump it wherever they can find the spot. So I think that's an important thing for ecology and sanitation and everything else that would be combined. I think it's a thing that we obviously need to keep and do whatever we need to do to do it. So that's just my comment.
All right. Thank you both again for your help on this. Great presentations. Next item on the agenda is the 2021 Commission calendar and agenda topics. We do have a sheet here. And Katrina will take us through that.
Thank you, Commissioner, Vice Chair Short. Everyone should have a copy of the 2021 draft calendar.
That one sheet, everybody has that? Okay.
The water services staff and field ops staff got together and placed items on the calendar that we believe will be presented in the upcoming year. And tonight, of course, we covered recycling. And what we're looking for in February is to finalize our calendar year 21 calendar topics. And we're going to review CIP project status and recycling program recommendations in February. We have posted for water and sewer rate discussion and solid waste collection and landfill rate discussion in March, but we just received some information that we may have to modify that. We'll find out more this Thursday. We'll meet, so we'll be able to update you. That will be presented, but will it be presented together in March or sometime, maybe April? That's to be determined, but we will give you an update on that. But it definitely will be prevented or presented this calendar year. April, we don't have any topics scheduled tonight unless that changes. And then May, Michelle and her staff are going to present water service, or excuse me, we'll be presenting together the financial updates. And we generally do not have a June and July meeting. And as of tonight, that should still stand. August and September are open. October, we look at chair and vice chair recommendations. And then November, we come back for our financial update. And so, I mean, bearing that there is no COVID, further COVID crises like last year, we have to vacate meetings. This is what we have thus far, unless there's any suggested topic items for tonight.
Commissioners, do you have any suggested topics? Yes, Commissioner.
I love going on site and looking at stuff. You know, years on construction sites, actually seeing stuff. Now, I'll make a quick site note here. That Primus liner that Greg and I went out and saw, that we can sit here and talk about it. It sounds neat. When you go out and look and see the pavement that you didn't have to take out, the excavation you did not have to do, the trees you didn't have to remove, the sidewalks that weren't taken out, you go, wow, look at the savings we have there. And it's so visual. It's very dramatic. I think going out and looking at stuff really helps us make better decisions, to be honest with you. I'd love to see us go out and visit a couple of the different sites that the city maintains, whether it be the sewer plant or the water treatment or whatever it might be. I'd like to see something like that.
Okay, thank you.
Vice Chair, and Commissioner Pleo, what we could do is when we come back next month to talk about the CIP update, then maybe we can just have a little side discussion. If there's something that's of interest, on the see on what's going on, then we can see if the commissioners would have any interest in wanting to see something that's going on right now, which we'd be happy to entertain that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good idea.
Great. Any other suggestions or ideas? Amber?
At some point, it seemed that we had some drought discussions.
Yes, those are always helpful. We'd like to put that on there.
Revisiting
yes.
That Drew, would be wonderful.
Have Drew come back with the drought reports.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Megan, correct me if I'm wrong. With the drought updates, I know we talked about when there are significant changes, that those will be presented during the director's update. And thus far, there haven't been any significant changes to present, but that is still on the radar. And keep in mind, this is tentative when those items come up, unless suppose we could always bring them up to say, we'll add this to the March meeting or the April meeting.
Are you drying up on those reports?
No. Kind of the same report every year. There's not a whole lot of significant changes, but you may see some more news articles in the next few months on the Colorado River. Again, the data comes in or the predictions come in April and August. So those would be when there's the potential for something to talk, you know, something interesting or new or significant. But, you know, I did talk to Drew this morning about it, and he said maybe after the August 24-month study, there might be something to talk about or something to present, some new graphs and new predictions to discuss. So.
That's interesting because it doesn't seem to coincide with the news.
Yeah, the news is doom and gloom.
Because they've actually presented major issues, lots of red, lots of concerns. So
yes.
It sounds like it's far off.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are saying, status quo, and the news is going.
I mean, they've been predicting deficits for years now.
Right.
So that's not really new. But in April, we'll have a good idea of what the snowpack is. Mm-hmm. As it begins, you know, just before it starts melting, and then in August we'll know where our reservoir levels are to know how we're going to get through the next winter, the next 6 months. So
That's why the April and the August are so critical to our water resource planning.
And then during all of this, there's ongoing negotiations, right?
Yes.
So that plays a role into what the reports are going to be. That's significant.
Yes, and we're following those. I mean, we don't have a seat at the table. The Department of Water Resources is there. AMLA is also following those discussions. And so as those meetings are held, we will be able to provide, if we need to email you guys something with a link, we can certainly do that, or Craig can provide it in his director's report. And then, as Katrina said, if we see something in the newspaper or know that something's coming up, we can certainly bring it up in the director's report and see if the next month it should be covered as a topic.
Yeah, I just don't want you to wait me until it goes below the line of no return. You said you want a report. Okay. Any other questions? Commissioner McGrew or Commissioner Berrio?
I'm fine.
Or suggestions? I might suggest, forgetting the name now, the city manager's strategy program, scoreboard.
Scorecard.
As to a report on that, how both you folks are doing on that, where we are.
Vice Chair and Commissioners, the city right now is under a strategy right now to prepare for our performance planning for the for all the employees that he wants to put into place by the end of this fiscal year.
Performance planning.
So a pay for performance, and a part of that is goals and strategic plans based on the balanced scorecard. Michelle has got a program that she's had put together for a couple of years now, at least. And then we're taking on our balanced scorecard. We're following her model, which is a good model. And Katrina is working on putting that together. So at some point here, I'd say in the fall, we could give you a good update as to where we are with how the performance planning part of this went, and then how the balanced scorecard's going. It's it took a while to get the impetus, if you will, to get this thing moving and going. And I thought what a good thing to do was is to, when I saw what Michelle had done, we had been working on this since 2016. Megan and we put a bunch of material together, but then when I saw, I'm a red, yellow, and green person, and she has red, yellow, and green in her balanced scorecard. So we're just going to follow that model. We'll need to reinvent the wheel, and we've already got our components within the model already developed, and Katrina's putting those in now. So I think we'll have something good to show, and then it's a five-year guide, and we can just kind of guide our way through over a five-year period, and provide and get the information, because at some point, we're going to be briefing our balanced scorecard to the city manager, and that's how he's going to get an update on where we are with our goals and our strategic vision based on what's being put out by the city council. So we're making progress on that. So some of us are further along than others, but it's working. And the guidance that's on our new employee evaluations, there's a new form that's been set up. There's training that's already underway for the employees on supervisors on how to develop there's four functional areas that's been determined. So every employee fits into one of the four functional areas, and there's a set of expectations that's been developed. So we're grooming the expectations. We're getting the supervisors trained, and then we're having people develop 1 to 3 goals based on the strategic vision that we have. And then we are being asked to have that discussion with all of our employees by the end of this month. And then at the end of this fiscal year, then we will do the evaluations. And as I told my senior staff, this is a fairly large paradigm shift going from you're going from what we had four ending evaluations for an employee at a time down to three. So either you meet the expectations, you exceed the expectations, or you need improvement. So we're we're in the process of doing that, but it's gonna, a lot of this is subjective, so it's a large communication plan you had to put in place to talk about subjective, because if you've got two people who do the same job and one of them gets exceeds, the other one gets a meets, but they had the same expectations and goals, we have to write a comment now. In the past, if you met, the supervisor didn't have to make the comment, but now you have to make a comment at, no matter how you rate them, you have to make a comment. So they're going to have to learn how to tell apart how they're rating somebody and be able to justify the rating if it ends up being an exceeds, and this person may end up getting a little more money on the exceeds than the person meets, and they do the same job, we'll have to be ready to explain that. It's going to be a challenge, and I think it's probably a good way to go. Having served time as a consultant at some point, I was given this much money for the owner, and the owner says, you divide this bonus money up, if you will, amongst your people that you feel deserve it. Some people got some people didn't. So it's starting to get the pay for performance into it, and that's where we are right now.
But the basis for this will be the balanced scorecard for the performance for pay.
The balanced scorecard helps us keep a track of how well we were doing on what we said we were going to do. The evaluations, the goals on that is based on what we say we're going to do, because we need everybody as a team to work on the same towards the same goals. And then that's where we are in the process of getting that all put together. And it's going to be a stutter step, you know, for a while until you get used to making it. But then after a while, everybody will kind of get in tune with it. But it's a big paradigm shift going from what we're doing now to everybody gets the same amount. But whenever a council approves the budget, everybody gets that. Now it's going to be a little bit different.
Okay. All right.
You agree with everything I said there pretty much?
Appreciate it. That was very helpful. Any other programs the commissioners would like to see and suggest?
Ron, just maybe.
Yes, Commissioner.
It could probably be handled under the director's report. Just the status of the staff. I know we've talked in the past on some of it's a little short here and there, and you're doing different things. And just an update on that somewhere along the line when it's appropriate.
Yeah, the director's report.
That would be a great place for it.
Okay, we can include that.
Okay, any other questions or any other on the program? All right, thank you very much, Katina. Next item is the commissioner's comments and suggestions. Commissioner Froak?
None tonight, thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Flato?
First of all, just a big thanks to your staff and the other parts of the city staff who put on that exhibition for me. Mm-hmm. They put it on just for me. it really was. And if you get a chance to see it, it'll be great. There was a big article in the Peoria Times, I don't know, the Peoria newspaper, about their water rates, and they were comparing it to Glendale. I don't know if you all saw that.
No.
It was pretty interesting that they were saying how inexpensive they are, and I was curious also, but it would be fun to kind of compare why they say they're so much less expensive than us when they're actually using our facility to help provide a lot of that.
But they're paying for it.
Well, yes, they are, but they're saying that their rates are substantially less than ours. That's the news article. And they compare with several cities in the West, but they basically say they're the lowest in the West. We're about mid-range, and then what was it, Goodyear was like gold water coming out of the taps. I think it was Goodyear.
Well, if I may.
Yes, you may.
Vice Chair, we always want to see what the other cities are doing, but there's a sometimes it's not as good a comparison as is being able to share with people, here's what you do, here's what your needs are, here's how your revenue needs need to support that. I think all the cities basically do that, but then over the years, this department has incurred a lot of debt. So our debt level in comparison to somebody else's debt level is, they could be lower, and that's a direct line right through the rates, because you have to pay that debt. So, but then when you look at Goodyear, he's building a $120 million water treatment plant right now. So he's incurring a lot of debt out there, and so he's got a very small population base to support this. So they're, and he's not getting any grant money to do this. So this is where it all comes into play. And so I think it's good to be able to see where you fit, not only the city of our size and comparing what we have in the valley, but then there's also other, I'm going to ask the rate consultant to also look at other cities of the size in other states, just so we can kind of get a feel, because I think we need to share that, just so we can kind of see, like are we way out, or are we kind of close? But I think when it comes down to the actual need for the rate and the revenue need, we have to be prepared to discuss why that revenue need to be, needs to be where it's at. While we're on that subject, we're going to be talking to you in February about how we're going to reset those calendars, because we're going to meet with the senior management on the 14th of January. Then we'll set the schedule, we'll set the needs. Then he's going to provide guidance on where when he wants the decisions to start being taken to council workshop and all that. And in the meantime, we got to lead you through that first, and then before we go to council. So you'll be hearing about how that adjustment's going to take place in February.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, Commissioner Ford, any comments?
Well, just to follow that comment, it seems to me that you should review the rate structure with Peoria, because if they're boasting that it's cheap, maybe we're not charging enough. Just a thought.
Well, if they're, I'm sure most of us are following the same protocols for how you determine what your rates are, because we're not profit-oriented. We are basically cover the expenses, cover your debt, and so make sure you have enough revenue to cover your costs. And if you keep your O&M stable, and then your capital is that basically is what drives your rates, is the capital, really. So, and as you guys, you know, as we discussed with you a couple of years ago, and the fact that we didn't do a rate increase for close to 10 years. And when the downturn hit, so we dug a big hole. I was able to get some things done, but they didn't want us to do it. So, and everybody here knows, if you don't maintain your house or your car for 10 years, when it comes time to start working on it, you're going to have some pretty heavy expenses. So when you're looking at $2 billion plus infrastructure here, you start to incur some very large expenses. And you guys have seen what we've got going on, and trying to hold that all together and make sure that we keep the level of service that the customers expect, keep that level of service to a certain point, then that drives what we need for revenue. But those are good points. I'm glad you're thinking of that, because you're thinking of it the right way.
All right. Commissioner McGrew, any comments, suggestions? Yep.
Further onto that point, I think it might be a little short-sighted of the newspaper to print prices and comparisons on water, because there's much, much bigger picture over years, over 10, 20 years, and there's all sorts of variables, capital expenditures and such. So I wouldn't put much weight into newspaper articles myself. Anyway, thank you all for a great presentation today. It was really interesting to hear about the trash and recycling survey. I appreciate that, and it's great to see everybody right after the first of the year, too.
Commissioner Berryhill.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for the presentations. They were excellent and appreciated. And hope you go forward and have a happy new year.
Now, again, I'd like to thank you all for all your presentations. They're always excellent, well done, and very informative and very helpful for this board. And thank you for all that you do for the City of Glendale citizens. Thank you very much. All right, the future agenda items, we've gone through a lot of that. But and the next meeting on February 3rd, we will finalize the 2021 Minister Calendar agenda topics. We'll review the 2021 CIP project status and then recycling program recommendations on this. Okay. The next meeting, as I just mentioned, is on February 3rd. 2021, 6 p.m. right here in beautiful Oasis Water Campus. All right. Do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I make a motion to adjourn.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
There we go.
Second. Commissioner Berryhill. All in favor? Going once? Going twice? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. We're done for. Thank you all very much.